Hey there, friends on Facebook land and internet land. How we doing? Well, I can tell you that it is a good day every day. And I really mean that. I used to really struggle and say, well, this is not so much a good day and I'll have a better day tomorrow kind of thing. But that all went according to circumstances and what I saw in front of me, rather than walking by faith, as we say. But I wanted to talk about wandering thoughts and what to do with those wandering thoughts during worship time, or just you're soaking or sitting still or throughout your day. So rather than waiting for people to kind of jump on here, I'm just going to dive right in. Please replay it, because you never know if you're going to miss something that said as I yield in the moment. And it could be the very thing that you need for today. Oftentimes I just jump on when I feel a prompting or a leading to, and this is one of those times. So if you're out there and you're struggling with where your mind is headed, especially during these times where there seems to be a lot of uncertainty out in the outer world or in the seen realm, when it is the exact opposite in the unseen realm. Everything is totally 100% peaceful, 100% safe and secure in the unseen world. Why? Because we're one with Him. We're one with love. And this is so crucial, guys, in the time that we live in and the days that we're in, because we were birthed into the earth for such a time as this. And there is those situations and circumstances and those trying times or those moments where you feel like, man, why am I even here? Well, rest assured, you're specifically here. God placed you here in this body for a reason. And if you haven't, quote, figured that out yet, it's because you're figuring it out. You're trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure it out and you'll see it. You'll know it. That's the whole point of really coming into the mind of Christ, is that reality of realizing that he has splashed us into the earth for a specific time and a specific reason, to show forth who He is, void of religion. You know, I've often said this, but we serve a non-religious Jesus. And the non-religious Jesus is beginning to show Himself through human skin like never before. Why? Because we're finally waking up to realizing that, wait a minute, He is non-religious. He doesn't have anything to do with religion. Religion is what killed Him on the cross. And He's the one that said, hey, I'm gonna come back in full power, the full power of love, where you cannot affect my outer world anymore. You know, you're in a resurrected body. You can't touch that. You know what I'm saying? Thankfully, we have been immersed into that resurrection power. We've been immersed into the fullness of that love. And because we have, there's a gap, there's a void in our thinking. And our thought process is something like this. If you've been raised in church, you've been raised in any kind of religion, you are here and He is up there in the cosmos somewhere. God is in the outer banks of the outer worlds, and He's way up there a million miles away, and He's this big entity that really doesn't know our stuff, is really not in our business. And so we don't really want to bother Him, right? Some of that, you know, religion teaches a lot of that stuff. It may not from directly from a pulpit, although some do. It certainly does in a consciousness level. So thankfully, the real Jesus is unveiling Himself through human skin, and it doesn't look like revivals of the past. Doesn't look like an awakening of the past. Although we are in a full-blown awakening right now. And I've mentioned this years ago. I started declaring and decreeing and speaking out that we were in a full-blown awakening. And People in the religious world looked at me like I had lost my marbles. And that's okay. I have lost my mind for Christ's. That's perfectly beautiful and wonderful and supposed to happen that way. So I'm excited because we are in an awakening. And what's happening is that the non-religious Jesus, people are awakening to that don't necessarily go to church. Some may and some don't. They're awakening to Jesus himself in a full-blown loving way. They just don't realize that they have to pray some kind of sinner's prayer because they've awakened to this Jesus that doesn't require one. Oh, man. Should I get into this? Lord. So think about it this way, guys. Religion teaches us to pray sinner's prayers and do a formula and all that to, quote, know Jesus. But last time I checked, he unveils himself and shows himself to Muslims across the world and Sikhs and Buddhists and pre-believers and every flavor of religion. He reveals himself to him. And guess what? He doesn't reveal himself to him as a denominational Christian. He reveals himself to him according to where they're at in their own life. And that may not look very Christianese. It may not look very Christian. But he certainly unveils himself as the creator of the universe in a full-blown manifestation of love. And when love in that fullness with a void of religion, that will transform your life in a minute. It happened to me. Years ago, I was just driving down the road and, it first started with a culmination of a series of events, but where he really unveiled himself to me as I was driving down the highway. And I just said, Lord, I can't do this. If you're real, Lord, God, Jesus, if you're real, show yourself to me. And man, the car was flooded with this overwhelming love. And I didn't have to pray a sinner's prayer. I didn't go to a church service. I didn't go to an altar call. And so if he can do that to me, for me, and unveil himself to me in a non-religious way, how much more is he doing that to people all over the earth and imputing the mind of Christ to them? The mind of Christ is simply his thoughts, his movements, his motions, his emotions, his nuances, his leads, his prompts, his thought processes, his mentality. All of those juicy things that are wrapped up in love, that's what the mind of Christ is, because you can't pinpoint a mind, right? Like you can a brain. Scientists haven't been able to discover what the mind is, per se, but they have the brain. So you have a mind-body-brain connection that's going on that science has tapped into and they've discovered. But when you look at the mind, you can't, it's like the wind. Is it over there? No, it's not over there. It's not over there. It's over here. No. It's, you can't pinpoint it, right? But you certainly have the thoughts that come racing through your brain or the back of your head, your spirit man going down your spine, and it comes up and then it starts floating around the brain. Okay. So the mind is a beautiful, wonderful instrument that we have, this beautiful, wonderful construct that the Lord has imputed unto us. And I want you to see this for what it is. The mind of Christ is already something you and I have. What is that mind? That's the mind of love and care and nurturing and all the goodness of the fruit of the Spirit. All those things that God is unconditional love. God is agape. So because he is, Jesus is an expression, a direct connection. I and the Father are one, that direct expression through human skin, tempted and tested in all points. That means he had to deal with the mind, right? The fallenness of the mind, the resistant thoughts, the negativity and all the rest. He was tested in all points, yet without missing the mark or without leaving his identity, put it that way. So we have that mind. The issue is that a lot of believers don't believe they have the mind. It's something that they feel they have to gain through fasting and prayer. They have to gain it through some kind of formula, or if I just can culminate enough scripture memorization, then maybe I'll have the mind of Christ. But I want you to say it's much more want you to see it's much more simpler than that. It's because he said, unless you become like a child, you will by no means see the mind of the kingdom. You will by no means see and understand and comprehend and receive what the kingdom is and who the kingdom belongs to, which is the children. It's the bread of the children of God, those that believe. And so we have the mind of Christ. We have it already. So it's a matter of receiving what's already ours and what's already there, because we're intertwined and one with Christ, okay? Because we are, we have his mind. The issue is the toxicity of those things that we've accumulated over time. So since birth till now, we've lost our innocence. And because we've lost our innocence, we've dipped into that the depraved state, if you will, of the loss of innocence. And because it's been trained, it's been imputed, it's been learned how to move into something aside from innocence, this is where we kind of get lost in the weeds. Okay? But the truth of the matter is that we already have the mind of Christ. And because we do, we've been restored to innocence. You had an awakening at some point in your life to recognize this Jesus. And then for a lot of people, most of us, it got tainted by joining religion. And because we joined some religious circle, some club, some community, some place, even though it may have been good, and there's been a lot of good there, right? It was still tainted because there's a loss of innocence wrapped up in all of that religiosity. And because we've done that, then we circle around this confused state of not knowing what this mind of Christ is, even though it's been imputed unto us, even though we're one with it. Christ in you and you in him, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He didn't think it prideful. He didn't think it dishonoring or disrespectful to consider himself equal with God, because he was one with him, and so are we. John 17. You are one with him and he is one with you. And because we are, it doesn't mean that we created the universe through our fingertips, but we are certainly part of that equation because we are one with him from the foundation of the world. And so because we are one, he said, you are little gods, you are little G's. And therefore, you have immense power through the mind of Christ to heal, to deliver, to set free, to raise the dead when he prompts someone to raise them. Not just when you go off on a whim and say, I'm going to go over to the cemetery and lay on a headstone and start decreeing that these dead bones live. No, you don't do that outside of Christ. You may do that out of religion, but not outside of his leading and his prompting to do so. That's called relationship, right? So the mind of Christ is an interesting scenario, because the mind of Christ includes all of those elements, not only of the fruit of the Spirit, but the identity, the righteousness, the peace and joy, and non-resistance happiness, non-resistance contentment, non-resistance knowing that I'm surrendering to a security and safety that I'm one with. I cannot separate from that safety and security. It's the mind of the fallenness that we've been trained by that leads us to believe that we are not safe and secure and everything has been provided for already. See, the oil of ease is already there, and the oil of provision is already there. We're intertwined with it. You cannot separate from it because we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying there is allow the mind of Christ to bubble up and come forth at the forefront of your mind by living in a surrendered, non-resistant state. Anytime we put resistance to something and we say, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not going there. I'm doing it my way. Ooh, I got a formula to attach. No, scripture says this, even though the voice of Jesus comes in and says, I want to share with you what that fully means. No. This is what it means by my learned behavior, by my imputed training through religion, or my trained mentality through my parents, or whatever it may be, right? So that's called resistance. But when we live in a non-resistant flow, that means we're headed downhill in a very good sense. We've thrown the oars away, trying to paddle uphill, trying to make something happen and apply effort to it so we can just get to Hawaii. So we can just get to that place we want to live in, and we just got to figure out how we're going to make a living. We're just going to figure out how we can get enough money to get the plane tickets and secure ourselves for the next year to move to Texas, to move to Florida, to move to Zimbabwe, or wherever it is, right? Kauai, Hawaii, Maui, Oahu. So we try to figure that out in our own mentality, figure that out in our own strength, when all the while that's putting forth resistance. And what it does is it pushes it further away from us when we try to figure it out. See, that's the noble thing to do when we have the mind of religion. We have the mind that's been trained to say, if you don't work, you don't eat, pal. If you do not figure this out, you will not survive, kind of mentality, right? And so that's the interesting part, because the mind of Christ, it's kind of like this. Galatians 5, 16 through 23 says, the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the spirit. So they're contrary to one another. That means resistance found in the works of the flesh. That's resistance. Non-resistance is the fruit of the spirit. Fruit of the spirit screams surrender, guys. It really does. The fruit of the spirit screams letting go. It screams being fully in the moment, in the now, where everything is always flowing downhill in non-resistant state. Because when you're flowing downhill in the Teflon flow, if you will, you know, Teflon, where nothing really sticks to it, it just slides right off. It's like water off a duck's bath. When you go down the river and you have the oars in or thrown away, that rubber raft analogy, then everything is the oil of ease going downhill. So I love to say this, even though people say contrary, they go, man, it's all downhill from here, kind of like a negative sense. I look at that as a positive thing, friend, because when you're going downhill, it means it's the oil of ease and the effortless flow of his mind, the mind of Christ. Why? Because then Jesus himself, the lover of our soul, the one who created all of humanity, can step in and say, finally, you're allowing me to bring it to you in an accelerated fashion. You ever notice that when you throw away the oars, or you're in a rubber raft and you're going rafting and you're downhill, man, it's acceleration. But when you turn that sucker upstream and you're trying to paddle against the rapids, it takes a long time, doesn't it? Been there, done that. I used to raft all the time down the rapids when I was a teenager in high school. We'd go every weekend. Loved it. It was awesome. But we never once turned that raft around and tried to go up river. No. We knew better. Common sense. Let it go downhill. So that's what happens when we let go of our own mentality, of our own mindset that says, I need to figure this out. See, because I have to have X amount of money to pay the bills. I need so-and-so to be compliant in order for me to, you know, be happy in life. If she would only say yes, if he'd only say no, if I could just get that dream job, if I could just have enough money to start my business, if someone would just believe in me enough to go ahead and sow into my life $100,000, then I could get my life started. I could leave this nasty job. You know, all these excuses. If I didn't have kids at home, I'll just wait till they get to college and I'm old and gray, and then I'll figure it out someday. In the by and by. See, that doesn't work, friends. It doesn't work. And you know it. Why don't we just get honest? Why don't we flip and get honest? Christians have such a hard time is getting honest with ourselves and saying, look, I'm toe up from the flow up, and I'm ready to take the oars and not only throw them in the river, but I want to burn them to ashes because I'm tired of paddling upstream. You know, why don't we just get honest enough and just say, look, Lord, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm letting go of the oars of the past and the future because I'm not going to try to figure this thing out anymore. I'm not going to try to convince my kids to come see me anymore. I'm not going to try to go and you know, work out the seven mountain strategy. Lord. I'm not going to do this anymore because it's tearing me up and it's not working. So if it's not working, it's time to try something else, right, friends? It's time to try something else. If it's not working, listen, if the restaurant sucks, don't go to the restaurant anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if the food sucks, why go there? Hello? I'm just saying. It's time to not only get really honest because we're in awakening right now. We are in awakening. Guys, I'm going to say it until the cows come all the way home, not just partway, not just halfway down that field, baby. I'm going to say it until all the flipping cows come home. Every last one of them. We are in awakening. We've been in awakening for years. It's just not what the church sees it to be or wants it to be. We're looking for some 1900 William Seymour strategy because we prayed our brains out. We have fasted our guts out. We can't go to Chick-fil-A anymore because we're laid up trying to fast our way there. Work it up, formulize it up, pray it up, scream it up, cry it out. Oh, Lord. Listen, guys, that doesn't work anymore. I'm sorry, but it doesn't work. A faster way there, an accelerated way there, is to just say, throw your hands in the air like I just don't care. Throw your hands in the air like I just don't care. I mean, seriously, I'm going to throw my hands in the air because I want to live in the now. And if I throw my hands in the air and I live in the now, then that's where all the juicy juice is. That's where acceleration lives. That's where everything is happy and peaceful and calm and joyful and wonderful. And then it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue because then when you're living in the now happy, you're like, okay, shouldn't I be doing something, Devana? Shouldn't I make it happen? Shouldn't I be trying to work 80 hours to get enough money? You know what I'm saying? Does anybody understand what's happening here? And so what do? I've done this till my hair fell off my head. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I'm tired of it. And it doesn't work. But I tell you, when I get intoxicated in the now, when I live in the juicy juice of the now, when I live in the juicy, you know, the juicy fruit gum. Remember Fruit Stripe gum? Fruit Stripe gum. Let me tell you something. Like Jim Carrey would say, let me show you something. When you taste the juicy fruit gum and you're enjoying that juicy. When do you chew the gum? Do you chew that in the future? Do you chew that in the past? Or do you chew the gum right here, right now? And you're enjoying the bliss of chewing that juicy gum, right? Right now. Now, it may remind you of times past, but you don't live there in that juicy moment. You live in the present in that juicy moment. Now, guys, I understand this takes a minute to cultivate living in the moment, okay? Especially for some of us that can think in 1,500 different ways in our own mind. The mind of Christ is always in the now. Did you know that? The mind of Christ is always in the now. Does it know the future? Does it know the past? Of course, because he's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He is ever-present. He is Alpha and Omega. He knows the past. He knows the future. But he chooses and decides to be in the now with you and I right here, right now, because there is nothing better than being present. Try not being present in a conversation with somebody you love, and they will think you are a rude, you know what. You'll be rude, right? We've all done it. I've done it. I don't know how many times I haven't been present. And then, you know, Amy or somebody else will say, hello, come back to planet now, John. Come back to the present moment. You're not here. You're off in La La Land. You're thinking about some tragedy of the past and you're shaming yourself again, or you're living in the future of a better day, wanting something to happen in the better moment of tomorrow, when there's nothing better than living in the now in the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is always in the now. Always. Because why? Because he's in you and he's in me. Right here, right now. One with us. He chooses to reduce himself and layer himself in billions of people across the planet, all in the now. But he doesn't want to live in the future. He doesn't want to live in the past, because love screams now. Love doesn't live in either realms. It lives in the now. You ever notice that? When you're making love, when you're in love, when you are in a conversation in the moment, you don't want to be in the future. You don't want to be in the past. Now, you can dream with people and talk about the future, but you're in the now. You want somebody's attention, the mind, to be in the now, right? So how do we do this? How do we do this, friends? Okay. So something I've learned that's taken me a minute has been this. That when you soak, when you worship, when you pray, whatever you do, okay, you still yourself. When you're spending that quality time with the Lord, or just even throughout your day. Let's just start with a soaking. Let's start with worship. Let's start with prayer. So when we're in that place, okay, and your mind starts to wander, your mind, because his mind doesn't wander, right? But your mind does. My mind does sometimes. So when it starts to wander, I want you to consider this. Consider embracing the wandering as a purging. See, because most of the time when you're wandering, you're thinking about stuff that's coming up from the past, or you're thinking about something in the future of a better day or a better, release, or the betrayal will be turned around, or whatever it may be. Okay. Consider this. Consider that all of those thoughts that come up while you're soaking, or while you're in prayer, or while you're in the moment with the Lord, or even throughout your day, consider those things are coming up because they are coming up and out. They're being purged out. They're coming up and they're leaving your mind. They're leaving your life. So I'll tell you, I'll just be open with you, even this morning, okay? And this happens frequently with me, because maybe I just have a jacked up life. Just, oh Lord. So this morning, I'm sitting there and I'm soaking for quite a while, and I'm just sitting there still. And here's another suggestion. Guys, if you keep asking, that means you're throwing up resistance and you're pushing the goodness away, because you've already asked a million and one times. You don't need to ask anymore. He already knows those things you have need of before you even ask, right? That's eternal. So you've already prayed all the prayers. You've already done all the asking for a million and one times. Now it's time. And then, you want to praise him because you're trying to manipulate something for him to get, you want him to move on your behalf. So he's like, oh, I praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you. I worship you. Oh, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. Oh, Lord, Jesus, I love you. I do. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, forgive me, Lord, for thinking those nasty thoughts. Oh, God, forgive us. Oh, Lord, I rebuke you, devil. Lord, I just command. And then, you do all those things, right? Instead of doing all that stuff, still yourself and just receive, because he already knows it all. He's got it all handled. The big bad devil isn't there in your presence. Just receive. And when you receive, then all the stuff starts percolating up from 1985. I started thinking about my mullet in 1985 and the Def Leppard concerts and all that stuff. And I'm like, whoa, where's the AC/DC coming from right now? What is that about? What is Prince and Purple Rain? Purple Rain, Purple Rain. And I'm like, what is that? What in the world? Where did that come from? That just came up out of nowhere. I'm starting to think, starting to hear the song. And I'm like, okay. And the Lord says, let it come up. Let it come up. Let it come up. Let it come up. What I'm doing is my mind, the mind of Christ, is percolating up and to bring that out so that you can be still enough and be present enough to receive the fullness of my voice in the moment, the fullness of my love in the moment, the fullness of my acceptance and approval in the moment. You see how it works? But when those thoughts come up, what we've been trained to do in religion land, we've been trained to rebuke those things. We've been trained to say, okay, Purple Rain, wait, I rebuke you, Prince. Get out of my life. You are 1984. Get out. I rebuke you. AC/DC, that's from the devil. Get out. The Lord command you, Satan. See, all those things, and then what do? When we throw up warfare, we throw up resistance. And so therefore, we keep things in the goodness of God at bay in the mind of Christ. Why? Because we're fighting against something that God is purging already. So we're activating it again when it's already up and out here. God's just showing us, hey, look, I'm just removing it from your life. I'm just purging you from those things from the past. Even if they're good memories that you had from mullet land, even if it's a good mullet memory, okay? I don't know who would have that, but even if it's a good one, God is removing it so that it can be gone, so that you can be present. See, and that'll continue, friends. That'll continue day after day, each time you do it, each time you practice being present, and then let it come up and let it go out. Then you'll be able to hear clearly now that Prince is gone. See, and then all of a sudden, you'll find yourself moving and living and having your being in the nuances and the prompts and the leads of the one you're one with, the mind of Christ. Come on, friends, that is gold. Is that not gold? Oh, Lord, the Lord just gave that to me right now. I didn't practice that. I didn't prepare for this sermon. See, Christ in me just said that. I didn't plan on saying any of this. That's the beauty of practicing being present and the mind of Christ coming forth to show you and unveil to you how this thing works. Give me some feedback. Give me some feedback. What do you think of that? Come on. Let's encourage one another daily. Let's challenge each other to live in the present moment so that we can let Prince go. He's dead. Okay? I mean, Def Leppard is old. They're old and they're gone, okay? Well, I think they're still around, but you know what I'm saying? Whatever your vice was. That's right. Live for the moment. And see, this is, Devonna, this is the best business plan on the planet. I've said this before. You want an epic entrepreneurial business plan? Live in the moment. Let the old stuff percolate up. Let it out. Bam! The mind of Christ comes in and drops a bomb on you that's better than apple. See, when we cultivate this stuff, and we cultivate just living in the present moment by letting those thoughts out and being present, then anything is possible. Anything. Anything. You know, you think Elon Musk, Tesla has anything on us? I mean, he's a creation of Almighty God, and thank God for Tesla, right? Whether you love it or hate it, doesn't matter. Technology is awesome. But what if you had something better than Tesla? What if you had something better than Google? What if you had something better than Apple? I mean, the children of Almighty God that know who this real non-religious Jesus is, we should be having the most brilliant, wonderful, powerful, most innovative ideas on the planet without striving, without seven mountain theology. This isn't Seven Mountain Theology, friends, and I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying this isn't Seven Mountain Theology. What this is having the mind of Christ, and you can surpass the mountaintop because you know that whoever goes to the mountaintop isn't the most influential person. Do you ever notice that? Most of the people that are on the mountaintop, the CEOs, the people in charge of the 4%ers, the 3%ers, the 2%ers of the world, they're not the most brilliant banana in the bunch. It's the janitor that works for them that has the brilliant ideas because they have the mind of Christ. And when they have the mind of Christ, then they become like a Joseph to the Pharaoh in Apple. Hello! Do you know what I mean? Wow. So, Jesus, you are good. You're good. This is the non-religious Jesus, guys. This is the Jesus that you fell in love with before you joined religion. And I'm not saying, you know, what this is just a representation through Johnny Boy. You have your own non-religious Jesus through your own personality. Isn't that wonderful? And he will speak to you in your own language, speak to you in your own nuances, in your own little personality quirks. And that's the beauty of this non-religious Jesus. And I am looking so forward to seeing him manifest through you, my friends, through you, Devonna, through you, John, through you, Tracy, and through you, everyone watching. I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing and tasting and feeling and watching powerful stuff come through the human skin of your own reality through the non-religious Jesus. Listen, people are fed up with religion for a reason. Did you know that there are more people leaving organized religion than ever before in history? And it's not just because of COVID, that's part of it, not just because of the political realm, although that's a lot of it, and then the reward versus punishment cut type of God, that's a lot of it. They're fed up because they want to know the Jesus that they first fell in love with, and somehow their mind got in the way because it has been trained by religiosity. It's been trained by a fallen mind that didn't know the mind of the non-religious Jesus that you fell in love with. Do you know what I'm saying? And so everybody's going, well, where did that Jesus go? Because I want that Jesus back. Let me tell you, Jesus, that non-religious Jesus never left you. You've been one with the mind of Christ all along. It's just that this clouding came in. It's like iCloud, right? iCloud. It's like R cloud, religious cloud, P cloud, political cloud, C cloud, COVID cloud. Do you know what I mean? So, but the Jesus that you fell in love with has always been there, and he's just been waiting. He's patient. He's kind. He's gentle. He is loving. He is peaceful. He is juicy, juicy, juicy. He is. Oh, Lord. He is the intoxication that you have dreamed of without the hangover. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, Jesus, I've never been more in love with Jesus. I mean, he is showing himself strong. He is showing himself more loving and more kind and more gentle, more innovative and more awesome than any technology, any love on the earth that you can ever see or feel or touch or receive. He is the very essence of love. He is the very essence of intoxication, because love is intoxicating. He is the very essence of innovation. He's the very essence of provision. You want provision? You want money to come into your life? Then let go and slide into the current moment. Slide into living into the now, and stop trying to plan for a future that you know is just going to backfire anyway, because you think about it. It's your plans anyways. And then stop dipping into the past because you're shaming yourself and you think you're a low down dirty dog, because who would want me, and who's ever going to notice me? Who's ever going to, you know, promote me? Who's ever going to believe in me? You know, that kind of mentality. And it's a joke. It's a flat out joke, because what it does is it dips into the mind of our trained reactions, our trained reality of what's been imputed unto us. Man, I tell you, people outside of you, if people in human skin outside of you, like your friends or your acquaintances or your family members that really believe in you, if they can believe in you and they look at you and say, listen, I see this treasure in you. How much more can the mind of Christ, and that's an attainted, skewed, mixed view of your friends around you. But think about the purity of the mind of Christ in the now moment, speaking that belief in you. And he always is, by the way. We just need to tune into it. It's like an antenna. Just tune in. It's like a cell tower. Tune in. Just tune in. Get your 5 bars and you're there. All you got to do is move the phone around, right? You're there. So you're already there. We're already there with the mind of Christ. Just move the phone around. Move the phone around and you'll get the 5 bars. The only reason why you're not getting any signal is because you are resisting the thoughts that are coming up and out. Resisting them, thinking there's something wrong with you. You're shamed. You're listening to the voices of those that don't fully believe in you. I can honestly 100% say, fully say, that anybody listening to this, I believe in you. Well, John, you don't know me. Christ does, and I'm listening to Christ right now. And Christ in me says that he believes in you 100% all the way. There is no failing. There is no denying that you are 100% approved and loved and not shamed. You are 100%. You are 100% with the mind of Christ. You're just awakening to that reality. It's just an awakening. It's not a formula. It's not a striving. It's not a climbing the mountain to try in some formula, new formula to coming out in some new way. No, no, no. It's a releasing and sinking in to the current moment of living in the now. Okay. And God, don't be ashamed that you can't live in the now. Remember what I said about the thoughts. Remember what he said about the thoughts. The thoughts are, let them come up and out. The shame. I was shamed as a little girl. I was shamed as a boy. I was shamed by my ex-husband. I was shamed by my ex-wife. I was shamed by this pastor. I was shamed by religion. Shamed by my parents. Shamed by this person. Shame, 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 shame. Blame, 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 blame. You let it up. Let it out. Let it up. Let it out. What do you do when you eat too much food? You drink too much? Or you got food poisoning? You let it up. And you let it out, right? It's either out of this hole or it's hello. You know what I'm saying? So let it purge. Let it detox. That's what our skin is for. Did you know that our skin is the biggest organ of our body? It is the biggest, largest organ of our body, and it sweats. Okay? It sweats toxins out all the time. You just don't need to see the imagery of that. But you know that you're sweating for a reason. You're sweating and toxins are coming up and out. It's the same with the mind. It's the same with the thoughts. Let them come up and out. Still yourself. Don't be ashamed. Don't feel shame. Don't feel less than. Don't feel like you're sinning. If you're sitting before the Lord and all these wild, crazy thoughts percolate up, just let them come up and percolate them and send love to them and let them go. And then you'll clear out more. It may take a minute, may take a few days, few weeks, few months, few years. Who cares? Nobody's in a hurry. Why are you in a hurry? Why? Well, I'm 65, John. So what? Who cares? If you're 65, it doesn't matter. Just let it purge. Let it go. Hey, you've got a generation, you've got a legacy, you've got other people that can take care of it after you. So let it come up and let it out. And that way you'll be clear to hear the antenna that's always speaking to you, saying you have the mind of Christ. Okay. Then you are tuned into the moment to really hear the voice of God, to really hear it with clarity, for the next unfolding, the next unveiling. Some of you say, well, I have a dream to go to Maui. Well, who doesn't want to go to Maui? Well, I don't want to go to Maui. Why wouldn't you want to go to Maui? If you've never been to Maui, then you would know that you wouldn't want to go to Maui, because Maui's awesome. It's one of the most awesome places on the planet. I love Maui. I'm in love with Maui. Maui's in love with me. I've had a lot of promises that have unfolded on that island for my life. And I speak the language, bruh. I speak the language of the Polynesians. Some of you do too. But you're trying to get there in your own strength. Because you're living in the past, you're living in the future, you're living in the past, you're living in the future, and letting the mind perkle up saying, oh, you need X amount of dollars to afford that rent. You need to get a job that'll pay you that much to pay that rent. You need enough money to go over there and to ship your $1,700 trip of a car over there. Then you need to get the first and the last and the rent and all this stuff. And then your mind goes back to the past when the rent wasn't paid. Then your mind goes to the future saying, well, if I could only win the lottery or have a sugar daddy. Well, we wouldn't say that as believers, right? So, I mean, you're just sitting there in torment in the past and the future instead of saying, okay, never mind. I'm not doing either. I'm not going to do that. That's all resistance. I'm going to live in the moment and let it unfold. God knows my desires. I don't need to ask for Maui one more time. I don't need to ask for going anywhere one more time or any more of money or anything else. Let it unfold. Let it unfold. Let it unfold. Stay in the moment. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Jesus says in the moment, let it unfold. And the more non-resistance you offer, the more downhill in that raft you offer, guess what happens? Guess what happens? All of a sudden, you get a phone call, you get a text message, you get an email. Whoa. Hey, I've got a place over here for you to stay for the next 2 years rent-free. Hey, I got the dream business for you. You know, your job is a lower level plane over here. We've got the business for you that matches your inner being, that matches why you were created. Here you go. And it starts to unfold. This is where you don't get impatient. You let it unfold. If it takes a year, it takes 4 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, 1 week, or 15 years. Who cares? That's right. Stay content. But not a religious contentment. You know that, Devana. Religious contentment says, oh, poor me. I'm humble. I just want to be humble. I'm just going to be humble and just remain content with my poverty and my, you know, I'll just remain content with my minimum wage job. And then, you know, Jesus will just come get me one day. One day. One day, not that you would do that, Devana. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying as a, because you're way higher than that. Okay, I'm just saying that you know what I'm saying, because I think you're a woman of faith. So it's the contentment that says, "Listen, I'm going to live in the now and let it unfold. I'm going to be happy today. I'm going to go do something joyful. I'm going to do something that's fun. I'm going to play today. I'm going to play tomorrow. I'm going to play the next day. And when I play, things will come my way." That is a saying right there in itself. When I play, things will come my way. Ooh, say it again. When I go play, things will come my way. Now, religion will say that's irresponsible. You should be serious all the time, interceding, praying your guts out, because after all, Joe Biden is our president and things are going to hell in a handbasket. So why shouldn't I be serious with everyone else and look like a sourpuss lemon? Why not just be depressed like everybody else right now in the Patriot Party? Why not flip it? Why not flip it and just say, I'm going to play and things will become my way. I'm going to play in the day so that things will come my way. I'm going to play in the day and keep my emotions at bay so that things will come, good things will come my way. When you start living that way, things will chase you down and they will overtake you. Seek first identity peace and joy, which could be equated as play. And all these things will come upon you and chase you down and come your way. Matthew 6:33, the Meyer paraphrased version. All right, guys, I'm going to leave it right there. Yeah, you're awesome. Thank you for listening to this crazy guy. But you know what? I've learned something. I'm shedding religion and I'm walking away so that I can go play, because I've had too much of the other in my life that has taken my life away. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm tired of the wrinkles. I'm tired of the aging process through religion. I'm done. Done. D-O-N-E. Done with me. And I'm done with it. So go play. Here's a word for you. I'm going to give you a powerful, profound. I'm going to give you a word from heaven right now. It's a two-word counseling session. You ready? Go play. And then I'm going to add something to it. And the blessings will start to come your way. Love you guys.